listening to WPRS on the Z Talk Radio Network.
The next stop is the Warren Exchange Paranormal Radio Show on the Z Talk Radio Network.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Thanks for stopping at the Warren Exchange. Tonight we have the two founding members of the Ontario Gay Paranormal Society. We're going to talk about their new project, veryparanormal.com, right after these words.
Introducing the Starbucks Flat White, crafted with two ristretto shots for bolder, caramelly espresso. Whole milk, steamed to a sweet, velvety microfoam. Delicately poured, so the espresso rises to the top. The perfect union of bold and sweet. Simplicity is its own artistry.
I'm really psyched Subway's bringing the flavor with this new guacamole for a couple of reasons. First, people really love our guacamole. Rich and creamy, made from Haas avocados and just a hint of jalapeno to keep it interesting. The other reason is, it's just really fun to say. Guacamole.
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 See?
Come in and try our new guacamole on sandwiches like the Chipotle Chicken Melt and discover how it turns up the flavor on all your favorite sandwiches.
Subway. Eat fresh.
You can listen to us anytime, anywhere now. Download our free app now for the iPhone and iPad. Look for the Warren Exchange or House of Mystery app at the Apple App Store today.
Joining us, we've got Trevor and Mark from the Ontario Gay Paranormal Society, and here we are. Nice to see you guys again. How are you doing?
Doing good. And how are you doing?
I'm okay. Still recovering, but not too bad. So what's been going on? How are you guys been this last year? Everything been going good for you?
It's been going really good, actually. We just actually recently undertook a new venture that we're starting with a producer from Toronto, and we're actually contracted with them to start doing some online web shows with them, so we're busy filming right now.
Well, fantastic. How is that going to work then? So it's a online show?
Yeah, it's an online subscriber-based channel, so people will have to go to the website to sign up for it. And once you do, you have access to all kinds of content on there, including Rescue Medium shows. Our content is going to be on there, some other people's content, a whole bunch of stuff related to basically anything paranormal. The website is actually called veryparanormal.com.
Veryparanormal.com.
Yes.
Okay. And so you're going to have, shows on there, like other than just what you're doing?
Yes, there's going to be lots of different content on there. Their main show is going to be the Rescue Mediums TV show. They're going to have some stuff on there, all of their episodes. There's going to be our stuff on there. There's going to be things like equipment demonstration, how to use tools properly, different techniques you can use in the paranormal field, different topics of discussion, stuff like that. So it's not just like strictly shows, but there will also be interesting topics as well.
Wow.
Plus, also there will be live feed going on, and also they're saying they'll let themselves in the live chat.
Okay. So how did you come up with that idea? Like, was this kind of your intention all along, or?
No, this wasn't our intention directly. We're just working underneath the producers that started this. We actually met them to one event that we were at, which is in Coburg, which we'll get to a little bit later. Anyways, that person's event was their producer's idea, and they asked us to join in on this venture, and we are working underneath them under contract basis to produce films and shows for them for this channel. So it's kind of helping them get some shows on there for them. So.
Wow. What kind of shows are you going to do? Like,
we're going to do our basis that we normally do, and what we normally do is our default show is we use history as well as paranormal, and we combine those together, and that's the way we've done our shows in the past. And that's why we continue to do them. I think it works really well with the history factor and the paranormal factor together.
Oh, okay.
So they go to different locations, whether they're historical locations or not, and talk about the history that's behind the location, and then do interviews with people that have had experiences, and then do an investigation and bring evidence forward after that. So that's sort of our style that we do.
Okay. That's pretty interesting. So you... are you going to look for other shows too, or other? Is this sort of something that you think is going to become big, or?
Yeah, we're hoping it's going to become fairly big. They're doing a lot of advertising for this channel right now. They're working on the subscriber base, so hopefully, once that gets up and going, we do sort of have a date for it, which is supposed to be targeting the end of October this year. So just watch for that on veryparanormal.com.
Oh, perfect! Just Halloween opening.
Yeah, I think that's what they're targeting for. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a good time because everybody's certainly in the mood,
yeah.
You know, around Halloween and stuff. You get a lot of people on board then, and so...
Yeah, I think it's a great time to actually target it for that launch, so...
Oh, yeah.
It draws more people in, so...
Oh, yeah, it's much better than doing it in the middle of summer,
yeah.
So...
And that gives us more time to get some filming done before that, too, so...
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty soon we will be going to the beautiful, actually, one of the seven wonders of the world, which is actually Niagara Falls. We are going to be going down there and actually doing filming. That's just before the launch-off date. And that there, we've actually contacted the people down in the Niagara, which is the Niagara Parks, and they're basically opening up their doors for us.
Wow, nice. I mean, that's kind of known. Niagara's kind of an area I've heard as being pretty haunted. Is that true?
It is, especially if you look at the War of 1812, which is actually to do with the Americans and also the British, that there was actually something like between 6,000 to 7,000 people who actually did perish because of the war, and that's also right where the war actually ended, which is Niagara. Besides the falls, like we're talking actually up in the north area of the falls,
yeah,
which is actually off of Drummond Hills Road.
Right. Have you done an investigation there before?
We've actually done semi-investigations, and we've also done a bus tour down there
mm-hmm.
in the past.
How did you find it then? Like, is it a pretty active place?
It is actually a pretty active place. We were there just during the daytime, and we had our K2 going, and the K2 was picking up major energy, even during the daytime. Now, there's no electrical wires going around that area, and I was picking up, plus also Lower Sea Court is actually buried there.
And well, you know, if for her chocolate, or...
No, most people usually think chocolate, but no, Lower Sea Court actually traveled so many miles to be able to tell the say the British say head soldier that the Americans were coming.
Okay. So now, what kind of things have been caught there, do you think? Has it been from all the War of 1812?
That's most the majority of it. It's actually due to the War of 1812, because there is still historical buildings still around that area.
Yeah. Is it, so does it feel kind of, is it more of a negative sort of feeling or scary feeling when you're there? Or?
Trevor?
No, not really. We find it's fairly calm energy there. It's a lot of residual energy, we call it, so it's not really like in your face active, but you can actually feel that energy still there residing within the land or the buildings that are there. It's just sort of all around you. It's that sort of residual energy that's left over after the battles and stuff that are still there is what you feel.
And the funny thing, though, is you can still smell the gun smoke, actually, even to date.
Yeah, we were down there a couple of years ago, like Mark said, with the bus tour, and we actually smelled gun smoke in the battlefield area. So
wow.
Those are the kind of things that you can still pick up that are residual there. So.
And that's just residual. It's not, like, real.
No, that's not real. That's just residual energy that's still there. Because they said that one battle in Lundy's Lane was the biggest battle they had down there, and there was so much gun smoke that you couldn't see who you were even firing at, so that would make sense that you would be able to actually still sense that smoke or smell that smoke there near still.
Hmm. And so do you think that, so you think there's a lot of people trapped there, a lot of spirits trapped there from the war?
There would be, yeah, because it was such a large battle that a lot of people died, so they died instantly sometimes on the battlefield. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves after, and their energy and their spirit is still there from the battle. Some probably are still thinking they're still fighting in the battle. So.
And also the cemetery actually has claimed, though, that three, Red Jackets, which were the British at the time, were well known to be able to fall behind you. They basically make sure that you're actually out of the cemetery that's there.
Huh. Well, that sounds like a job for the rescue mediums.
Yes.
Well, the rescue mediums, though, they basically go into homes. For us, though, we go actually into more historical locations, that's what we basically do.
Yeah. Have you been on any investigations lately that have been good?
We did one just recently, and it was actually for filming, and that there is Cafe 13, which is actually in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Now, it's not too far away from where our base is, and now the location is well known from the staff members that there's major hauntings. Trevor can explain a little bit better.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of hauntings in that area. It's one of the main historical buildings from downtown Galt, which is where we live, and it's one of the places that we wanted to get into to film. So we just took a chance and dropped a letter off, and they replied back to us, and they said, yeah, sure, come on in. Which is great, because it's just before they renovated. It's closed right now, actually, for renovation, so we just got in there before they started some work in there. But anyways, we were in there for about 2 o'clock in the morning one night, and just investigating. We caught some stuff on video that was pretty interesting, and other than that, we just mostly caught residual energy in there. There wasn't a lot of activity, but some of that stuff is going to be on the show that we caught. So we had a great chance to get into one of the historical locations down here.
Hmm, that's pretty interesting. And, wow. So, and it looks like, now you were saying next year here in May, you've got something coming up with the rescue medium people?
Yeah, as I was mentioning earlier, we do have an event coming up that we'd like to mention as well.
Okay.
It's going to be in Cobourg, Ontario, which is on the east side of Toronto. And we were there for the last couple of years. It's a great event. It is hosted by the Rescue Medium Show. The lady is Jackie. She hosts this event. So we helped her out over the last couple of years, and we're heading back again there this year. The dates for that are May 5th and May 6th of 2016. If you're interested, just check out the website. We don't have the details yet. Those are still in the works, but we're allowed to promote that and talk about that here tonight.
Great.
And I'll sort of let you know with what to do those. The first night, though, the dinner, I think it's a theme dinner, what they actually have. Some of the past shows are being shown while you're eating. and then the next day there's classes going on, and then come back for dinner. Then at night times a ghost hunt actually out of this original jail. Now the jail closed off in the mid-90s, and the place is very active. And on the outside, actually, all the people that have been actually in the jail, actually their names are written actually on the brick.
Yeah. That's one of the features of this jail, the building. They actually wrote their names on the outside of the wall, which is pretty neat.
And it's less than a block away from the Great Lakes up that you see up here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so what kind of classes are going to be there?
Jackie does more or less meditation, actually how to work with pendulum.
How to open up your chakras and work with your chakras, and a lot of like mental ability type classes for paranormal. So more to open your mind up and be more aware of the spirits around you. She sort of does that to get you more open before the investigation starts also. So.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. That's a good event. And
yeah.
And wow. I'm just trying to think now. So if you...
Now for us, so we're trying to get actually out west, probably to Seattle or even to Vancouver, Victoria, just to see what's visible a little bit for energy-wise.
Okay, kind of take a little kind of tour to see what's around.
Well, that's kind of the talk right now, is actually that. Sorry about the noise in the background. but yeah, we're actually sort of thinking about actually probably going out there within the year to 2 years, actually, just to tour around.
Yeah. There's a lot of history, you know, with all three cities, a lot of energy there. So, wow. So now, how long do you plan on being on Very Paranormal? Like, I mean that as in, like, is this kind of a reoccurring role for a long time, or?
We hope it to be, for sure. We're not sure exactly what the future plans are for it, as it's not even launched yet, so... The exciting part right now coming up is the actual launch of the channel. So we're trying to get all of our shows and our videos and everything uploaded for the producers so they have content for this channel. So we're not really too sure what the long-term plans are for it yet. We hope it continues to be a success, but we definitely are going to work towards that and provide them as much content as possible, especially from our region around here. So.
And we just did, I just finished off some editing though that we did last month. And within this editing, we came across actually the creature of the Sasquatch.
Oh.
So.
Has that been something that you've kind of looked for in the past?
Well, we're always open to it. Trevor, though, he's more or less actually more into the Sasquatch than what I am. But the thing though is, I actually, like personally myself, I came across it while Trevor went to, like he went back to base, and I actually had to call him.
Because
I wasn't sure what to really do.
Yeah, like what do you do?
Yeah.
So how did you take that? Was it enough that it makes you kind of interested now or more into it now?
I've always been open to basically anything that's native. We classify it actually as a native spirit. But for myself, basically, it was like, okay, fine, another Sasquatch encounter. I had one ages ago, right when I was like roughly 5 years ago. It was a little baby. But this time, it's like more or less an adult one. And on the videotape, though, you can actually see us basically grabbing our gear and running away from it. So, more or less, I would say it kind of does, actually. It's like, okay, well, what would have happened if I would have stayed there? What would have I done?
Well, what do you think? Did you feel like it was threatening you, or?
Well, the cemetery at first, though, actually had positive energy. Like, you could feel the energy. It was, like, more calm, and then all of a sudden, right when the energy of the Sasquatch came around, it was turned into more or less a negative one for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's really what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, I just curious on what the feeling was. Like if you thought that you were going to be attacked, or if, I mean, obviously you get scared. This is something you don't come across normally.
Yes.
So, wow. So you're gonna do some adventures? Gonna start doing some research for that, or searching for them?
I'm not too sure really what's going to go on. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a tough one.
It is something that we could look at in the future. It is something that we do like to cover. We both have an interest in it, and we both have had experiences dealing with it, but we haven't actually gone out for a full investigation on it at all. They've just been experiences while we've been doing something else, so it's something that we could look at in the future as an option also, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if these things are happening to you when you're out on another sort of search, but if it keeps popping up like this, maybe it's for a reason.
Exactly, maybe it's trying to tell you something that you're supposed to be doing this and not that. So
yeah, I sort of see things that way when you things keep popping up and you're not really focused on it, but it keeps kind of getting in your way.
Right.
Maybe it's trying to get your attention. I'm just throwing that out there. You never know.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, the one thing though is most people though is whenever it comes to Sasquatch, they'll say though that they're there, and now so they turn their head and they look back, they're not there. Personally, with me though, I think though that Sasquatches actually know where the portals are within the universe, so they come and go as what they please.
So the portals. Do you think then that Sasquatch or have a have some sort of a perception or something that we as humans don't normally?
Yeah, definitely they do have something different that we don't. We tend to lean more towards that they're a native spirit that manifests, and that's what you see them as, and that's why people see them as this big, hairy type creature, but that's just what we believe that they manifest as. They're more of a spirit than a creature, so.
Yeah. Wow. And so, so you think that they're not really alive?
No, they're alive. They just manifest that way. Like, there's so many different, I've done quite a bit of research into it, and just the facts that I have found over the years, like different things, like there's never been a body recovered of any kind. They always have tracks, but they always disappear. So, like, how can tracks just disappear and things like that? You kind of think over and over and over that in your mind. And my thinking towards that is, well, it has to be some kind of spirit then, because there's never any body recovered. They always manifest and disappear. They always appear in strange places and things like that. So, like, that's just one of the conclusions that I have come to about it. So,
right.
My thoughts.
Right. I mean, you hear that. I've also heard lately a lot of, it's a lot of people that sort of think that they're aliens.
That is another theory that's out there. I've heard that as well. I don't know how truthful that is. I think that more came around when people started thinking about the portal theory, that they would come from another dimension, dimensional creatures, but then somebody's like, and sometimes they see UFO encounters at the same time they have a Sasquatch encounter, so I think that's where that came in, but I don't really lean towards that theory. Like I said, I think they go back so far as well into the Native culture way before anybody else in the white culture has seen them or experienced them, so they have that Native tie as well, so I think still there has to be some kind of Native spirit.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting subject there. You know, it's something that's been with us forever. So now, do you think Sasquatch are all over the world then?
Oh yeah, there's different kinds all over the world. There's been experiences here in Canada, obviously, is one of the main hotspots in the States, even overseas in China. They have reports and stuff like that too. So it's definitely worldwide. Yeah.
And Sasquatch supposedly has a cousin though that's actually more aggressive and more dangerous than what Sasquatch is. And then it's also supposed to be taller.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's lots of different types of these creatures out there. So.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Have you had any UFO reports or any? Do people call you for that?
We don't get a lot on the UFO end. We mostly deal with spirit and paranormal. We do touch on Bigfoot quite a bit, just because of our background. Mark and I are both from Northern Ontario, so we have a lot of experience up in that area in the woods and stuff. But as far as UFOs go, no, we don't get a lot of UFO reports.
No, one of our colleagues, so that actually helps us out. She used to be part of MUFON. And anyway, so she deals with more of the UFOs and all that.
Yeah, we do have some other colleagues in the field that deal with UFOs, so if we ever get a UFO case, we usually pass it on. So
yeah,
we don't deal with that directly.
Yeah, well, that's a whole big subject there, right? That's a whole
whole different field there. So
yeah, it's a ton of work in that. So, and I guess you guys have heard about the murder suicide thing, hey? And
yes, we did unfortunately just hear about that in the last couple of days. Sad event that happened. We know that they were big on the Ghost Adventure show, which we are actually Ghost Adventure's crew family members as well. So it really kind of hit home for us this week hearing that news. So.
Yeah, yesterday I actually had one of our friends from the States basically ask me, well, what really happened? And I said, that's a good question, though. Nobody really knows exactly what happened.
Yeah. Apparently it was in the news as well down in the States and stuff as a news story, just generally. So they weren't really covering as a paranormal story. They're just covering as a general news story. So I thought that was kind of interesting, too. So.
Yeah, because I think didn't he hold out for like 4 hours with the cops or something? And
yeah, I didn't read the full detailed report yet on exactly what happened, but apparently he shot both of them and then shot himself or something. So
yeah.
I don't know what the actual details are.
Yeah. And like I was watching one report though, and they said though that their relationship actually off camera was really rocky, but when it came to the camera, it was fine, like really happy and all that.
Yeah.
So you really never know exactly what people's lives are really like.
Well, yeah, you don't, especially when it's in a love triangle or love relationships like that, you just don't know how it's going to turn out or how stable people are always. But and I know that, I guess, so you know that Steve Huff, too, right, has been trying to contact him, you know? Have you seen that?
No.
It's controversy. He was on the team as well, Steve Huff, and I guess he's an EVP specialist as well, and so he's been filming and been trying to connect with the dead spirits of them. The last 20.
I think I did hear something just recently about somebody trying to.
Yeah, and some are taking this as a real insult, and they're saying some real nasty things about him, and then so it's been a huge controversy right now because of that, it's just kind of weird. I don't think it's good for anybody.
No,
it's certainly
as
not. You know,
the experts ourselves, like we do that all the time, and I would never think of trying to contact somebody that has just passed so recently.
Especially,
I understand there's a drive in the field to try to get that evidence out there, but I think that's just going about it the wrong way.
Well, it just hurts a lot of people. The people that are close and then involved in the family and stuff, and then. You know, when you become the news story about your recording and you want to charge money for anybody to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not good for the family. It's not good for the paranormal industry. I mean, the whole business is going to take a hit.
See, the one thing though, with me though, this is my belief though.
Yeah.
Is if you know exactly how to actually do an EVP, right? Not always an expert, because sometimes you can get them wrong or whatever, especially with the classes or even what they're saying. We've actually watched a couple shows. Since we don't have television or satellite right now, we were actually watching everything through YouTube. We're watching and we're like, okay, is that what it really said? And then we'll play back and it's like, no, we're not picking up that stuff. That's my belief, and that's what I strongly say to myself.
Yeah. Well, it's just a tool we use, right? I mean,
yeah.
In general, I think most people are trying to find an answer, trying to find closure or whatever you want to call it. I think in this case, he's just, I don't know what he's getting press and he's trying to create business.
Yeah, and that's the wrong way to go about it. That would be a different situation if, say, one of the family members, say, asked you to do it on their behalf, and then it was done privately, that would be a different way to go about it. But yeah. Not to be in the public like that.
Because I mean, it would be like if you guys have a pact and one person passes on and you have this thing, okay, I'll try and contact you and this is what I'll say and do, and you try to, you know, that's one thing. But to just take it upon, that would be like one of you guys getting shot and killed and then someone else coming in and trying to find, and then charge people to, you know, I don't know. I think so. It's on the edge of tacky or something.
Well, it's a discredit as well to the field that we're in. Like, we're all in the field for the same reason. And just to go about in that way is just not right. So it gives a bad name on everybody that way.
Yeah. It's going to be kind of a laughing stock for a little bit because of that, I think. It'll become a joke.
It's still a little shocking to everybody, exactly.
Well, that's just that everybody's still in shock over this whole situation. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's something that you know you see on TV or you hear about, but I mean, if you're actually working with someone or you live with someone or you're a neighbor and you come home and you find this happened and all that, it's just the whole area. It's just it's devastating for people. So it's just, you know, that's. And so, anything else going on that's a little bit more happy lately? Anything you've seen in the news or heard about, or any other groups you've got to work with, or?
Well, the main group that we're basically working with knows, again, the lady that deals with UFOs, but she's actually the Ghost Hunters of Guelph, that we help out with. And just over the weekend, we did some filming actually within our own house. It was one of our spirits, so that was actually on the last show that we talked about. His name is Andrew Jackson. We helped him be able to cross over to the White Light.
Oh.
Yeah, we just did a seance over the past weekend, and Wanda, she was over, and she's a medium that we use sometimes, and she helped lead the seance, and things just came together, and it was just time for that spirit to cross over, so we were actually able to help him do that. So.
Wow, that's interesting. And so, do you do a lot of seances, or no?
Quite a few seances, actually, yeah, especially in our home. We try to keep a practice of that because it helps within the field to understand how a seance works, because it's just basically another tool that we use, right? Just like our handheld tools when you're out in the field, a seance is another ability that you can have in your pocket to kind of, so to speak, to communicate with. So it's great practice.
So what exactly, for listeners that don't know, what exactly goes on in a seance? Like, how do you go about doing this if someone wants a seance?
Okay, so what we do though, actually for a seance, and how most seances are usually done, like there's different ways, but for number one though, you actually have a sheet, like a black sheet or something dark actually over top of the table. And what you do though, so you actually gather the people around, have them more or less meditate, relax in their mind and everything else. And you start with your fingers actually on the table. Now you can do this actually with complete darkness, or even with a little bit of candlelight. Less light is a lot better for the spirits, because the spirits don't really like light that much. And then what you're doing is gathering around the table, those since you're meditating and all that. There's different ways how to open up the seance. The way though that we did though was, since we actually all, everybody that was around the table, we've done seances in the past, we were all relaxing. To start off with, though, we sang happy birthday, because one of our spirits actually in our house, so she likes the happy birthday song. And then you more or less meditate more, still with your eyes open, and then you go from there. And then for closing the seance, so you have to say thank you much to the spirits actually for being actually there, and then ask them to leave.
Huh.
So that's how you more or less do it.
Okay. So why would you hold a seance? Like, what is it that you do with the seance?
A seance is basically a communication tool. So it's another way of trying to talk to the spirit and see if they have anything that they want to talk about. So there's different ways you can do that. There's strictly the ways of when you're starting a seance. if stuff starts moving on the table, say you have a glass on the table or a candle in the middle of the table and the flame starts flickering, that's a form of communication. So the spirit within the circle of the seance is actually trying to communicate with you. You can do other things during a seance that includes, we try techniques like scribing, which is using a pen and paper inside the circle, and the spirit will sort of take over you a little bit and actually start writing on the paper. So they can actually write words down and communicate that way too. There's other things that happen during the seance. You could hear disembodied voices, you could hear knocks and noises. Those are other ways they communicate also, until the circle is closed and then the seance is finished. So.
No, Trevor was saying though to do the writing. You always use your opposite hand. It's actually called scribing. But you basically are letting the spirits be able to take care of that, like control that hand, and actually do writing.
Wow. And so what? So when they're doing that, so when you're, can anybody be scribing, or is it just go to a particular person or medium that's in the room?
It's usually people that are really strong within the spiritual world, like mediums, that can actually do it. Some other people have actually done it in the past, know that, don't know exactly what they're doing, like new people within the spiritual world. They've actually done it, and sometimes they don't know exactly what's going on.
Wow, yeah.
So it does help to have a bit of training in that too, so.
Yeah. Well, I would say, because if they're scribing, as you say, through you, so aren't they in a way they're taking control of that person's hand?
Yeah, you're allowing them to be able to take care of the control actually of the hand and actually be able to write. Now, for me, though, I'm a right-hand person, except for all sports, so I'm left. So I don't write with my left, I'm really bad with my left. And all the writing that I was doing was perfectly clear. You can actually see the Y, the words yes, no, you can actually see some of the names that were written down.
Wow. So do you feel like it's taking over your mind as well, or do you feel
actually, No. As a trained medium, you know exactly what the guidelines are. You know what the boundaries are. Now, for the people that are fairly new with the spiritual world, though, that have done scribing, it's always passed off to have somebody that's there that knows exactly how to actually work with it.
Wow. You know, I've seen some of it where they... there's that guy in Australia that does the seances, and now the spirit takes over and he speaks for them.
Yeah.
So that would be along the same sort of lines?
Actually, if you're actually allowing the spirit to be able to come through your voice, that's called channeling, and that's exactly what also I do.
But don't you worry. So you channel?
Yeah, I trans-channel.
So what's the experience like? So if you're channeling in general, like do you actually, so whatever they're saying through, they're basically using your voice box to speak.
Yeah.
So do you pick up on what they're saying before they say it? Do you pick up on their mind?
Unfortunately, since I trans channel, I don't know what's going on. I let the spirit fade to come forward. I step back. So that's what I do. But again, those I don't know. And then for channeling, people do know exactly what the spirits are saying. They can actually hear the spirits and be able to communicate that way. Let the spirits be able to use their voice and speak. But for me, though, I'm a trans channeler.
Right. So you just kind of like you're almost tuned out while it's doing its thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. Trevor has actually seen that a couple times. Trevor's been there while I've actually trans channel. So Trevor's actually noticed the difference in all that. Even again, though, a couple of years ago, while we were up in northern Ontario, at Fort St. Joseph, I was doing trans channeling, and Trevor said my voice was totally different.
Wow. Well, and Trevor, doesn't that scare you when you see that happening?
I did the first couple of times, yes, because it was something totally new to me, and I didn't really know what to do. I sort of just let it take its course, and whatever happened sort of happened. But thankfully, it didn't last too long. He was only under a trans channel for a few minutes, and he came back out of it by himself. So
Yeah.
I didn't have to do anything. And that's actually a time after is what I was supposed to do, because I asked a few people that do that and say, okay, what happens if he's, you know, in a channel session and something happens that he can't come out of it, what do I do? They said, don't do anything, just let it continue on until it's done. So
yeah.
Actually, I did the right thing at that point. So.
Yeah, because I would think that would be kind of scary. It would freak me out if I was sitting there and then all of a sudden a different voice is coming out of the,
yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, well, wow, that's pretty...
Yeah, you can sort of tell something's happening. It's not just all of a sudden.
Right.
Like, I know the way Mark does it, he kind of sits down and meditates for a bit first, and then he starts channeling, so I know there's sort of a preparation time before it starts happening.
Right.
And I can know what to expect. On TV, when you see these guys just sort of all of a sudden get taken over, I guess that can happen sometimes because spirits are known to take over people time to time, and especially if somebody's a medium, they can sort of take over their own body and stuff. But the way Mark does it, it's more of a controlled situation. So.
Well, yeah, but Mark, so when this happens, do you, I guess you, if you're tuned out, it's fine, but what if they don't want to give up control of you?
Actually, if they don't want to give up, I actually get my spirit guides actually to take control. Since we all have spirit guides going with us, like, they're not going with us, but traveling with us every single day, I always get them, if I can't control the spirit that's actually in me, I get the spirit guides to come forward.
Yeah.
And push them off.
So your spirit guide, like when you, how did you first connect with your spirit guide?
Well, again, though, since I'm part Native, I always knew I actually had spirit guides. I didn't really know them that well, but I kind of figured, though, that one of them was my grandfather's twin brother that was stillborn, and that's one of my spirit guides. And then also I have a couple other ones.
Okay.
And one of them is a African-American lady, and she loves everyone. I'm very much so upset.
Well, so on those spirit guides, the ones like that, how did you actually connect with them? As in, like, so they're there, but how did you become to realize some of them? Like,
how? It's just basically meditation, and then actually asking questions, and then having the answers brought forward towards like to me.
Right. So did... Like, have they told you their names, or?
Unfortunately, not. They haven't told me their names, but I know what they look like. I know also what time period they're from.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's like Trevor's even got a spirit guide also.
Yeah, I do know what mine are as well. So. Oh,
okay, so you've connected with yours as well?
Yeah, many times. I do it mostly like Mark does through meditation. And anytime I'm going into an investigation, I always meditate first and try to have him as a protector when I'm investigating. So,
yeah, the one that Trevor's talking about, though, his name is Ravenfoot.
Yeah, Ravenfoot, and he's a Native warrior from, I believe it's the 1700s?
Yeah, 1700s.
Early 1800s. And he was actually a leader of a Indian tribe, and he was... had a family, and he was, forget what the whole story was behind it. One of our medium friends told us one time that she could pick it up, but I know he was a Native warrior, and he was like in charge of this whole tribe back in the like late 1700s, early 1800s. So.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. So how does it change your life once you have come to realize your spirit guide and kind of who they are and where they came from? Does it sort of change the way you see life?
It does, because it really gives you an opening to know that there really is more out there. There's somebody, it's really comforting to know that you have somebody actually watching you that may not be physical, but they're there all the time with you. You know that they're there, you can call upon them for strength when you need them, say during investigation if some negative energy starts coming in and something starts happening. You know that they can be there to protect you energy-wise, not just physically, but energy-wise as well. So,
and what I normally say to people, your spirit guide, though, is basically directing you down the right path.
Yeah.
Even though that we may be always going off the path, they're always directing us back onto the right path.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're a positive influence. They're not negative.
Yeah, they're always there as a positive guide. They're always guiding you down the right path. So.
Wow. And so what do you think about, I have to ask because it kind of touches off, so when you get into near-death experiences and people that have them, are your spirit guides the ones that help you cross over?
Actually, good question, though, because I've actually had an OBE, yeah. out-of-body experience. I was actually pronounced dead on arrival back in 87 from a major car accident. My spirit guides were actually there during all times. They've were guiding me, actually, sort of which way to go, and they helped bring me back, actually, into my body.
Wow. And so do you think that they were kind of helping you out in that situation? So if it was your time to go, are they the ones that meet you then?
They do. Actually, at first, they did meet me actually at first, and they're like, okay, let you know it's not your time, but we'll sort of show you what there is, but we always have to bring you back because there's a lot more actually underneath your road in your lifetime period right now that you actually have to face.
Wow.
It's all for the good.
Right. And so that always, I've heard that a lot, so that brings me right round to the back to the War of 1812 and your yes. investigation. So with those people there that are trapped and that, what's going on there, do you think? Why hasn't their spirit guide helped them cross when it initially happened?
It's because they don't realize that they're actually gone, that their time's actually gone, like has been here and at the door, go figure, sort of style.
Yeah.
So they're reliving everything and everything over.
So they're going to hold on to that,
yeah,
because they don't know what else to do.
Yeah, it's sort of like Gettysburg. Gettysburg goes down there, are still reliving everything, and up here for the War of 1812 here in Ontario, they're actually still reliving everything over, like nothing's actually happened.
Right.
The war is still going on.
And so that's why people like the rescue mediums or even yourself or anybody comes and they try to help them cross over.
Yeah.
So that's a hard connection, isn't it? Like, isn't it hard to connect with someone that's stuck in a revolving door, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, with us, though, for Andrew, it's taken a year directly. Because Andrew had an unfinished business. He knew he was deceased. But he still had unfinished business, and then we finally touched it during our seance, and then all of a sudden he was ready to go, and his mother was there waiting for him.
So during that event, like a seance, how is it that you get them to trust you,
Trevor? well,
there's no certain way to do that, really. Spirits have, in our minds, they have free will, so they can do whatever they want to do. Or whatever they're going to do. So everything just happens, and the way it happened that night, about a week ago when we did the seance, everything just fell into place, and it was perfect timing for him to cross over, so we just helped him cross over that way.
Yeah.
All the conditions were just right for it. So.
Yeah. And so when you were helping them cross over, did you come into contact with that spirit guide, so to speak?
No, that was just the spirit himself. He was still there. I'm assuming his guides were there somewhere, maybe trying to help him get crossed over, but his unfinished business was just so strong that that's what kept him here, and he wasn't able to cross over. Sometimes when you die, even tragically, like people just don't know they're gone, or if they do know they're gone, they have something they need to finish before they can cross over. That's one of the theories that's actually out there for paranormal. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why they don't connect with the spirit guide. So if I get, like, if I go outside and a truck hits me and I didn't expect it, of course, and I'm vroom dead.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm really shocked and wrapped up and I don't believe I'm dead and there's all these things I want to finish. So, okay, I'm totally engulfed in that and I don't want to let go. Okay, I get that. But over time, why doesn't my spirit guide come to me and go, you know, it's time or start to kind of... That's what I'm sort of trying to figure
out. I'll sort of give you a diagram.
Okay.
Think about a pyramid.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're all, like, since we're breathing all that, we're actually at the bottom of the pyramid. The middle is actually the spirits. Okay. And the spirit guides are actually at the very top peak. So there's three different planes altogether, actually, of all of our spirits.
Yeah.
That's the best way how to put it. So that way the middle, like I know, this, like the ghosts and all that, like what we call the spirits, don't realize. So they're actually trapped in between the two worlds. Right? And where the spirit guides are really up high, they see over top of everything.
Okay. So it's just like it's like a disconnect.
That's right. That's the best way how to actually describe it and how to say it.
Yeah. That's pretty. It's a pretty interesting subject. It's fascinating. And so, with your out of body experience, was that like a near death experience or?
Actually, I had no vital signs over 5 minutes.
Wow.
So. They say usually you actually being transferred to 5 minutes, so they can retrieve you, but anything over top of 5 minutes, that they can't.
Yeah.
And for myself, that was actually over 5 minutes.
So was there any experience for you, like what a lot of people, you know, a light or any of that sort of stuff?
Well, at the time, though, I used to go to church. So what I remember, actually, is three rocks out front of these gates, and the gates weren't gold liquid. Actually, church is safe. It was a bright light that was behind that was causing, actually, the gold bright light. And there was a gentleman, actually, on one of the rocks. Got up and they opened up the scroll and said, "Mark, it's not your time yet." And then that's free when I came back.
Huh. Yeah. It's an interesting area, isn't it?
It is, actually.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, it's been another interesting conversation. Now, again, let's plug you a little bit. So your new show will be on veryparanormal.com coming up probably somewhere around Halloween.
Yeah, the target launch date is the end of October. I don't have an exact date yet.
Okay.
But just keep watching the website, veryparanormal.com. They do have a sort of temporary page up right now where you can get just some basic information and stuff like that. So it's worth checking out right now.
And there's also a Facebook group actually for them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. And so how do people get a hold of you if they need
for us, though, you can check us out. Oh, actually, over top of our internet at OntarioGayParanormalSociety.ca.
Wow, fantastic. Well, man, thank you for taking some time. And Gavin.
Anytime, we're happy to help out and join the show again. So.
Yeah, fantastic.
On air.
Yeah, fantastic.
The mission has been completed.
The end! By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you!
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.